The recent SCOTUS ruling on chemical abortion is being wrongly hailed as a victory for the abortion industry. A lot of pro-lifers are out there, you know, saying things like, we're deeply disappointed. The media is claiming this is a victory for chemical abortion and how it you know, the Supreme Court upheld chemical abortion. That is not what happened. Let me be very clear. The 9 justices in a unanimous decision did not make a decision for the chemical abortion industry. They did not even rule on the merits of the case, okay? It's incomprehensible to think that just 2 years ago, conservative justices that overturned Roe versus Wade would all of a sudden repent of their pro-life position and side with the 3 justices that are pro-abortion. That didn't happen. I'm sure that the pro-abortion justices were gleeful that this case was decided the way it was right now. But ultimately, this is a victory for pro-life people. And I'll tell you why. The abortion industry can't hide behind women's reproductive rights anymore. The decision that was actually made was look, you've got to send this back to the Fifth Circuit. The doctors that were bringing this case against the FDA and the FDA's illegal approval of the dangerous chemical abortion drug mifepristone that causes sepsis and hemorrhaging and sends women to the emergency room, et cetera, they did not have standing. That's all the Supreme Court said. You doctors, you're not the ones being directly harmed here in the chemical abortion problem in America. You're a third party. And based on the doctrine of standing with the Supreme Court and the courts in general, you've got to have a direct cause for bringing a case. You've got to be directly harmed or have a complaint that directly impacts you. And they're saying that these doctors, while they made a case that said they did have standing, it didn't fit the doctrine that was strictly held. Now, this has major implications for the abortion industry because it sends a signal to the abortion industry. You can't hide behind women's rights anymore. You as an abortionist or an abortion business, you can't go to the court and say, "Hey, we're saying these abortion restrictions that are implemented, say, in Idaho or, you know, Louisiana, are unconstitutional because they harm a woman's right to abortion. They impact negatively on a woman's right to abortion. So they're standing in as a third party on behalf of this imaginary group of women and the reproductive rights that are being harmed. You can't do that anymore. You shouldn't have been able to do that in the first place. That's basically what the Supreme Court is saying. Justice Thomas, in his concurring opinion with the majority, with Brett Kavanaugh, who wrote the majority opinion, basically said, look, you know, the abortion industry can't do it. You can't do it. So what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. This is a big, big signal, opens up a pathway for pro-life people, a silver pathway, if you will. This is a big silver lining in a little SCOTUS abortion cloud, okay? Now we know what litigation to abandon, what litigation to bring, what litigation to continue to pursue. You know, this is all good news. Again, the case is still alive. They just remanded it back to the Fifth Circuit. So what that means is the pro-life kind of people, a contingent, have to bring the appropriate plaintiff to bear who has been injured. I can imagine, you know, like Aslan, the cackling glee of the witch and the Lion Witch in the Wardrobe, thinking that she had won by killing Aslan. And Aslan knew, he understood the deeper magic. He knew that you make a move that looked like a loss when in fact it sets you up for the victory in the whole war. That's what's happening right now at the Supreme Court. These guys at the Supreme Court, these conservative justices, know exactly what they're doing. They're playing by the rule of law. And the rule of law cannot countenance systemic injustice that is abortion. The systemic dehumanization and disqualification of an entire category of human being, like preborn boys and girls, is unjust everywhere and always. You cannot pick and choose which humans are going to qualify for protection under the law and call yourself a justice system. You're just not going to do it. Sooner or later, you're going to be found out. SCOTUS just gave pro-lifers a silver path to victory. And, you know, so all we need to do is find someone with standing, someone who's been harmed. That would be someone like, a girl trafficked by the sex trade industry who's being forced to take these chemical abortion pills. By the way, that's happening all the time in America. You need to find a parent whose child was harmed by chemical abortion. Also happening all across America. In fact, there was one case. There's one case from an abortionist in Queens who gave a minor chemical abortion. She was sick, sore, and lame for weeks, not to mention the fact terrible harm was done to the child. You can bring a suit against the chemical abortion industry. She brought a suit against the abortionist, him or herself. A woman drugged against her will, unbeknownst to her, by a boyfriend or a husband who's pregnant, and you know, this woman's pregnant, and the husband or boyfriend doesn't want her to be pregnant, and he drugs her. Forces her to have, take this chemical abortion drug. Again, happens all over the country all the time. Another plaintiff could be an emergency room at a hospital who's experiencing miscarriage inflation rates, and putting undue stress and burden on their medical system because the chemical abortion industry is telling women to lie when they're experiencing complications. They're telling women to lie to the ER doctor and say, hey, you're just miscarrying. Here's the thing. The SCOTUS decision did not say that chemical abortion was legal. They didn't, like I said, they did not rule in the merits of the case. They did not side with the abortion industry. They did not insist that chemical abortion should remain legal in America. The fact of the matter is, based on the oral arguments for this case in March, Justice Thomas and Justice Alito both asked questions about the nature of the Comstock Act, which basically says, by the way, this Comstock Act was modified in the 1970s and again in 1994. Provisions with respect to abortion were maintained. And that being the case, the Supreme Court justices understand that chemical abortion and the purveyance of chemical abortion across U.S. borders and state lines is illegal, currently a violation of federal law, and this case did not change that fact. It's a violation of the Comstock Act to ship drugs, chemical abortion drugs, across the U.S. border. Many of these drugs are made in China, shipped over to the United States to be stored by Danco Laboratories, responsible for it, or Gen BioPro, and then they're shipped all across the country, across state lines, in violation of the Comstock Act. Each violation carries a $250,000 fine, with 10 years in prison for the first violation and 5 years in prison thereafter. It carries also racketeering charges. So anybody that's complicit in the process of conveying these drugs across state borders or U.S. border are also complicit and will be held liable. Racketeering charges carry triple damages. So we're talking about, if you're at 630,000 chemical abortions every year and virtually every single one of those instances are a violation of the Comstock Act, $630,000 times 630,000 times $250,000 fines plus triple damages and racketeering is, plus a 5-year statute of limitations, you're looking at $2.4 trillion. That's a significant percentage of the national debt. That'll sink the abortion industry. Chemical abortion is still illegal. The Supreme Court said nothing about it. They only said you don't have standing doctors to file a lawsuit on behalf of a third party. So go back, find your people who are being injured, bring them in. We will hear the case on the merits. Okay. We're also basically firing a shot across the bow at the abortion industry saying, we will not hear your case. In any case, we'll not hear your case on, if you are acting as a third party on behalf of, some imaginary group of women whose rights are being violated by some kind of abortion restriction. We're not going to hear that case. And those cases that were argued and found, for the abortion industry on that premise should be overturned. If Merrick Garland about a year and a half ago in January said he would not enforce the Comstock Act. Okay, this is a violation. It's not his job to determine which laws he's going to enforce and which ones he's not going to enforce. The Biden administration and basically the president, the executive branch, is responsible for the Department of Justice in executing the laws duly enacted by the legislature, okay? Enforcing those laws. Merrick Garland, the DOJ, the U.S. Attorney General is responsible for making sure that those laws are enforced. And he has, other tools at his disposal, like the FBI, to make sure that that happens. So when he comes out and says, I'm not going to enforce the Comstock Act, it's a piece of Victorian era legislation. It's not up to him. He has to, by virtue of his oath, enforce the law equally. He is violating his oath of office. Now, he's in hot water right now. I've been saying for a year and a half, 2 years, they ought to defund the DOJ and the FBI. He didn't like that a year ago, June. He pushed back on that concept, essentially saying that anybody who speaks out against the Department of Justice is attacking democracy. Now we've got it happening again. He's being held in contempt of Congress, and he's likely, you know, if this is upheld, he's likely going to be joining Steve Bannon in jail, which would be great, by the way. Nevertheless, if we get a new attorney general, let's just say that Merrick Garland goes away for one reason or another, because, you know, we get a new president in and he fires Merrick Garland, we get a new guy. The attorney general that's coming in may be interested in enforcing the law. He may be interested in enforcing the law equally. He may be interested in enforcing the laws duly enacted by the legislature instead of setting himself up against the legislature. We have three co-equal branches of government, okay? The judiciary, the legislature, and the executive branch. Those three need to work together and not be at odds with each other. So if you get a guy that's willing to enforce the law, I mean, that will destroy the abortion industry overnight. If you get a guy that's willing to enforce the law of the land is the Comstock Act, then great. The Supreme Court's all about that. They're all about the law of the land. They didn't come out and say, oh, we're overturning the Comstock Act. They just said, you don't, as plaintiffs, you can't file a lawsuit on behalf of a third party. Go find your primary party. Go find your primary plaintiffs that are being injured by chemical abortion. They're everywhere, okay? They're everywhere. Find one, and we'll hear the merits of the case. So the Supreme Court also suggested that we get back to work. When Dobbs is overturned, many of the pro-life people in the community, pro-life community, were like, oh, you know, this was it. This was the goal. We overturned Roe versus Wade through Dobbs, and, you know, abortion's gone. But we understood here in New York and anybody else that lives in a pro-abortion state that overturning Roe versus Wade was not the end of abortion. It was not going to be the end of abortion. It was going to be the end of the beginning. And that's what we're seeing. We've seen a 10% increase in abortion all across this country post-Dobbs. It's time to get back to work. And the Supreme Court, with Kavanaugh and Justice in their opinions, in their concurring opinion, basically are telling us, in so many words, you've got to get back to work. You've got to go vote. You've got to argue this in the public square. You've got to talk to your friends and your family and your coworkers and people at church. You've got to encourage your pastor to preach about this stuff. You've got to go to your legislature. You've got to make sure that you're talking to your legislatures at the state level, talking to your legislatures at the federal level. You've got to go to your attorneys general at the state level. You've got to demand that they enforce the law and protect women and children. You've got to serve. You've got to reach out to women who are facing unplanned pregnancy and have started the chemical abortion process and are experiencing potentially the demise of their own health, not to mention the ending of the life of their child. You've got to serve them. You've got to tell them the truth about the nature of the dangers of chemical abortion. And you've got to tell them the truth about the fact that you can reverse the effects of chemical abortion if you can catch it early enough with natural progesterone therapy. We're being sued for saying and doing things like that by blue state pro-abortion, rabid, activistic Attorney General Antifa James. Shame on her. But nevertheless, we must continue to push forward. The Bible says in Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4, vindicate the weak and the fatherless, the orphan. Isaiah 1, 17 says, learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. These are all legal terms, by the way, used for the public square. Christians need to stand up. We need to speak up, and we need to not just use our voice on behalf of the voiceless, but we need to use we need to serve in ways that are consistent with a Christ-like ethic. We're here to make a difference in this world, and we've got a long way to go. But I do believe the Supreme Court just handed us a playbook. 9-0. We saw this. This is just amazing. So let's see it for what it is, as the next step of waking up the church and the people of God, and basically handing the pro-life community a strategic play. So let's see it for what it is. Be encouraged. And let's keep moving forward as the Supreme Court, I believe, is doing. Let you and I keep moving forward as well. We've got strategic lawsuits in place at Compass Care and other pregnancy centers with the Thomas More Society and the Alliance Defending Freedom. And we're gonna continue to move forward, protecting Compass Care and other pregnancy centers' ability to continue to serve women seriously considering abortion in a way that helps her have her baby, both medically with medical care as well as comprehensive community support. So again, thank you very much. This has been Proof of Life. I am your host, Reverend Jim Hardin. Follow me on my Newsmax column, Hardin's Hard Truths, as well as all your favorite podcast platforms. Thank you. And God bless.